reading for Emma's sermon today is taken from Hebrews chapter 10, starting at verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
Good morning, church. Lovely to see so many of you. And Steve and Katie, that's just such a real added blessing to this morning. Thank you, Andy, for reading our passage so wonderfully. So yeah, today I've got a free subject, which is always dangerous. And so we're going to be looking at one of my favourite passages from the New Testament, from actually what is becoming one of my favourite books. So I'm really excited to bring this message to you guys this morning. Just a little kind of bit of a background. We don't know who wrote the letter to the Hebrews. Some say it might be Barnabas, some say it might be Apollos, but we don't know a little bit more about the audience to the letter. The writer assumes that they have a really good knowledge of the Old Testament laws and stories, which are called the Torah. And so while we're not sure, we think that it was written to a group of Jewish Christians, hence the title of the letter to the Hebrews. We also know from slightly later on in chapter 10 that this audience are facing some really big challenges. In fact, they're facing persecution and even imprisonment. And some, because of these challenges, are being tempted to walk away from their faith. And so this letter to the Hebrews has two main goals. Firstly, it wants to elevate Jesus. It shows him as being superior to every other thing that these Jewish Christians would have held up tight onto in their previous life as Jews. And the secondly is to challenge the readers to remain faithful to Jesus in the face of challenges and of persecution. And I guess Hebrews has actually been speaking to me during this kind of pandemic season, as we too have been facing challenges. We too have found it hard to meet together. And maybe some of us too have been asking questions about our faith. So let's jump into the passage. Tom Wright, in his excellent commentary on the book of Hebrews, thoroughly recommend it, tells a story of when he was a little boy. And his mum came in one day carrying loads of shopping, bags and bags and bags of it, much more than normal. And he's a little bit confused by this. And also then confused by the fact that his mum was making a lot more phone calls that afternoon than usual. That evening, his confusion grows when he's asked to suddenly start polishing cutlery. None of this makes any sense at all to the small Tom until the following afternoon, when the doorbell keeps going and one person after another starts arriving into the house. All that shopping, all that cleaning, all those invitations meant that everything was prepared for the big event. It was time for a party. And finally, that young Tom sees where all of that preparation had been leading. And Tom Wright makes the point that the letter to the Hebrews is a little bit like that story. The writer has been using the last 9 chapters to lead up to this point where the invitation is given. Come to the party. Let's look at verse 22. It says, let us draw near to God. I just want to stop us there for a wee moment and just let those words sink in. Let us draw near to God. It would have been a radical and shocking invitation to those first century Jews. And it is still today the most beautiful, staggering, breathtaking invitation you and I have ever been given. but it's one that perhaps is so familiar, I think sometimes we are in danger of taking it for granted. You and I have been invited into the very presence of God, into a relationship with the God of this whole universe. I mean, just close your eyes for a moment and let that sink down deep today. We have been invited to draw near to God Himself this day, this moment. I don't know what it feels like to receive an invitation to the palace, but I do know a couple of people in our congregation who do. And Ian and Maggie, I guess when you opened that invitation to a Buckingham Palace garden party a few years ago now, there must have been such a feeling of excitement. And I guess the invitation would have gone on the mantelpiece to be seen and admired. I know if it had come to me, I would have been telling every living soul and the smile would have broken my face. Guys, this morning, we've not been invited to Buckingham Palace, to a soggy lawn and bland sandwiches and a slice of cake off a paper plate, or maybe even china, I don't know. We've not been invited to a far-off glimpse of a member of a royal family, or even a 30-second conversation and a quick handshake if we're lucky. Look at where we have been invited into. Verse 19 says that we've confidence to enter the most holy place. That part right in the very centre of the temple, where heaven and earth met, to the throne room of heaven. That's where we have been invited into. And even more than that, it's not just a room we've been invited into. We're invited into a deep and loving relationship with God Himself. And I know that most of us have heard that preached 1,000 times. But this morning, I just want us to take that moment to drink in afresh that breathtaking reality that as Christians we find ourselves in. The writer of the Hebrews has just taken the last 9 chapters, thousands of words, to make it clear to the readers of this letter just how exceptional Jesus is. He says that he is vastly superior to any heavenly being, to the Torah, to Moses and the covenant. He's superior to all of the priesthood, that Jesus is the ultimate and superior sacrifice in a new covenant that vastly surpasses the old. And this Jesus, the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word, as it says in chapter 1 and verse 3 of this letter, is now inviting you and me into his presence, into the throne room of the King. It shouldn't be possible. But as we've just read in these verses, as we've just celebrated in the act of communion led so well by Ian and Maggie, we have confidence to enter the most holy place. How? By the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. And we have a great priest over the house of God. So let us draw near. The way has been made clear for us. And if you take nothing else away today, if you switch off and zone out, put me on mute, and remember only one thing, remember this, that today you are invited into the presence of the living God, and that is an incredible thing. But you have to engage with that invitation. It's like when Hannah and Lottie were little, and Matthew used to come home from work, in those days when, you know, you used to go to an office to work rather than just your dining room table. There was always, when he got home, he would get in, he would close the door and he would just shout out, "Girls!" And there was a hug. There was a huge hug waiting for them. But they had to go and get it. They had to draw near to him. It was no good them just sitting on the sofa or staying up in their room. They had to engage. and go and receive it, to go and draw near to their father, to their daddy. Maybe today for some of us, there is that challenge to engage more, to draw near to a heavenly father who loves us and who is inviting us into the most holy place to embrace him this morning. So actually, that was not what I was going to discuss today. That was kind of just an introduction. I want to focus on three specific invitations that you see in this passage. And they are the invitation to faith, the invitation to hope, and the invitation to love. So let's dive in. Verse 21 says, "Since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God in full assurance of faith." Now, the writer is going to explore this idea of faith much more fully in chapter 11, which opens with faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain in what we do not see. But he actually plants the idea here in chapter 10. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, and I guess for many of us, this year has had nothing sure or certain about it. More than ever, the future feels unknown. I know that many of us have found life increasingly disorientating simply because of the sheer inability to plan anything. And if you speak to Matt and Claire and you speak to Matt and Emily, I'm pretty sure they would agree with me that they know firsthand what it's like to make plans and then remake them and then remake them again, and how that can be just so destabilizing in our kind of mental state. And as a society, I guess we face an uncertain future, just like these first century Jewish Christians. For some of us, that future is going to involve suffering. And with life feeling like shifting sand under our feet and all that seemed firm giving way around us, that's when our faith, and a faith in God that is unchanging, who is firm and secure, who is a rock and a refuge and a stronghold, that's when our faith will see us through. You see, the faith that the writer to the Hebrews is talking about is not some kind of mindless blind leap into the dark, as some would see it. It's a faith that rests upon the person and the work of Jesus. The Jesus, the writer, has spent the last 9 chapters illuminating and explaining. The better we know him, the deeper our faith and the more that we trust him. Faith is not something you can drum up, says Tom Wright. It comes instead from looking long and hard at the object of faith, namely Jesus. And so we need to gorge ourselves on scripture. We need to read it and meditate upon it and learn about Jesus, about who he is and what he's done and who we are as a result of who he is and what he has done. And when we think through that and hold on to that, then that produces the faith and assurance that this passage speaks of. And it's that faith and that assurance that carries us through the tough times, the uncertainty. I wonder if you need faith like that this morning. The invitation of Jesus is there. Come and draw near to me, spend time with me, learn from me, meditate upon me, upon what I have done, and of who you are as a consequence of that. And when you do that, faith will rise in your heart and give you the assurance that you need. So we're invited to faith, but we're also invited to hope. And the two are quite closely linked in the writer's mind. The writer says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess." The Passion Translation says it this way: "We must cling tightly to the hope that lives within us, knowing that God always keeps his promises." Some people think hope is just wishful thinking, but this hope is totally different. We are, according to Hebrews, to hold tight to the story of how God has rescued us and redeemed us, and to grow in the knowledge of this gospel. It's rooted deeply in what God has promised, and God is faithful. He has promised so much to us. Let's just take a moment to think. What has God promised you? Well, there's the general stuff, of course. He's promised us salvation. We've celebrated that today. He's promised us freedom. He's promised us strength. He's promised us his presence. He's promised us a home in heaven. He's promised us peace and grace and provision. He promises us light and life in abundance, a release from guilt, forgiveness, redemption, a family. I could go on and on and on, but you get the drift. And that alone would be way more than enough. But I wonder if God has made you a specific promise that you are waiting on this morning. Maybe for some of us, we're waiting on God for something that he's promised and our hope is fading. Perhaps it's a dream that he's placed in your heart. Maybe for a ministry or something like that. Maybe it's an answer to prayer and you've waited so long. And it's hard in those moments to hold on to hope. And I know how that can feel. I remember a long time ago now, Matthew and I were trying for a baby and it wasn't happening. And it was really hard each month to hold on to hope. And we knew that God had promised us that we would have a baby. We knew that in a remarkable, miraculous way. And I don't have time to go into the story now, but it's a good one. Ask me later. But it's really tiring holding on to that hope. And when questions come, as they do, the answer is to keep trusting in the one who has promised it to us. To trust in the God we've come to see in Jesus, because he is utterly trustworthy. And it's hard to do that alone, so I suggest that you get some people to stand with you and hope with you and pray for you and encourage you. And we'll go on to talk more about that in a moment. But perhaps God's invitation to some of us this morning is to once again cling tightly to the hope that lives within us. And how we do that is the same way that we respond to the invitation to faith. We fix the eyes of our heart and our mind onto the person of Jesus and draw near to him. And finally, we have the invitation to love. This is one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. Verse 24 says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." The New Living Translation puts it this way, which is my favourite. "Let us encourage one another to outbursts of love and good deeds." I love that translation. We've talked this morning about the invitation to draw near and the invitation to faith, and the invitation to hope. And now we are to encourage one another to take up the invitation to love. And there's a couple of things to highlight here. The first thing I want to highlight is that while the invitation to faith and the invitation to hope are primarily vertical in nature, kind of, you know, us and God, the invitation to love is different. And you're kind of sat there going, I know where this is going. Yeah, you know, I'm to have faith in God and I'm to have hope in God and I'm to love God. And actually the writer kind of goes somewhere different with it. We are to have faith in God. We are to have hope in God, but we are to love each other. It takes on a horizontal plane. Faith and hope are an invitation upwards, but to love is an invitation outwards. And he builds on that too. Note too, that it is to let us draw near, to let us hold on, to let us encourage one another. Plural, meaning it's not just me. The invitation that we've been looking at this morning is given in the context of community. Being a Christian is not something you can do on your own, even if you want to. It was never designed as a solo project. We are to live this Christian life in community with others who share this faith and walk this path. It would have been, if you think about the member, the original audience of the letter, Jewish Christians, it would have been, and they're facing persecution, it would have been far easier for them to not meet together. They would have been tempted to go it alone, not because they didn't like the people around them, although sometimes, you know, that can happen, not because they were lazy and couldn't be bothered to get to go to a church, but because it would have been safer for them not to be seen assembling with others. There was a danger of meeting together. It could put them in the path of persecution. But the writer to the Hebrews does not let them get away with those excuses. And we don't get away with them either. It is hard to live in community. But to community is where we are invited and where we are called. The invitation is to love one another. And when our faith dips, the implication is, yes, we draw near to God, but we also draw near to others. And when it feels like our hope is slipping away, the implication is we draw near to God, but we also draw near to others. We're invited not just to love God, but as we've read, to encourage one another to love. The simple truth is that every Christian needs the encouragement of every other Christian. The writer to the Hebrews knows this, and that's why he emphasizes it in this passage. The truth is, every time you show up to church, be it in the building this afternoon or in a few weeks in the morning, or on a Zoom call like right now, every time you come to a prayer meeting, every home group session you attend, you are an encouragement to others simply by being there. No one is expendable. No one will not be missed. Each of us is needed. And you see this not just in the letter to Hebrews, but you can go and read in 1 Corinthians, you can go and read in Romans, you can go and read in the Gospels. This is a principle that applies time and time and time again. Each of us is needed. And it's in community that we learn to love as Jesus loves, sacrificially, generously, and extravagantly. Now, I know I mention my home group practically every time I preach, it feels like at the moment, but they are amazing. And I mention them often because of these verses, because of the reality that I have experienced in the context of home group, of being encouraged and enabling to and being able to encourage others too. And truth is, I want you guys to have that too. I mean, our home group, we've sat and we have laughed together and celebrated together and we share together and we've cried together and mourned together. We have grown together and learned together. And they are such an incredible bunch of people. And I'm humbled by them and I'm amazed by them so often and in so many ways. I have been blessed in ways by God that could only have happened by being part of a small group of fellow travelers on this way of Jesus, who have made a commitment to each other to love and encourage and challenge each other. And it is just the most wonderful thing. And I want everyone to have that. But it doesn't happen overnight. It requires time and it requires commitment and it requires intention. And we see that intentionality here in this verses. There's an invitation to each one of us today from the writer of the Hebrews to get alongside some people, to create community and to encourage one another and to meet together and not to give up meeting together. As a Christian, you need a group of people around you who will cheer you on and lift you up and challenge you when you're getting stuff wrong and have your back when life gets tough. And my humble suggestion would be that that doesn't always happen when you're in a group of 100 odd people in church. It happens when you're in a smaller group. And that's why, as church, we love home group and we want people to be part of a home group. So the invitation is there to encourage one another in the context of community to outbursts of love and good deeds. And this morning, for some of us, we need to sit up and take notice of this invitation. For some of us, it's going to mean we're going to need to go out and find some people and get into a group and respond to what God is inviting us to. And yes, it'll take effort and it'll take time, but take my word from it, from personal experience, it's so worth it. The blessings are incredible. So I wonder, which invitation will you respond to today? Do you need to respond to the invitation to draw near to God this morning? Do you need that fresh realization of the wonder of being able to come into God's presence? Have you hung back on the edge? Sat on the sofa while your Heavenly Father stands at the front door and says, "Come and embrace me, I want a hug." Perhaps for you, it's the invitation to faith, to look long and hard at Jesus and have faith rise up as you grow to know him better. Maybe this morning you need to respond to the invitation to cling tightly to the hope again, to fix our eyes firmly on Jesus and his faithfulness, knowing that what he has promised you, be it an answer to prayer or be it a dream that he's placed in you, will come to pass. Or maybe it's the invitation to love and to love in community that you need to say yes to this morning. I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you for these verses from Hebrews, for the invitation that you bring to us through them. And Father, I pray for those this morning who need to respond to the invitation to draw near to you. Father, I thank you that through the body and the blood of Jesus, the sacrifice that we have celebrated this morning through communion, that Father, we can draw near to you with confidence, with assurance that when we come to you, we will find grace and mercy when we need it, as it says in Hebrews chapter 4. And so, Father, for those of us who need to respond to that invitation to draw near, I pray that you would help us to do that. Come into your presence more and more, to not be afraid or ashamed, but to find that embrace of a loving Father. And Father, for those of us who today need to draw near and to respond to that invitation to faith, Father, I pray that faith would rise up within them. I pray that you would reveal more of yourself to them. And as they learn more from you, learn more about you, meditate upon you, that Father, faith would rise. Father, I pray for those of us this morning who feel like we are losing grip on hope. Father, help us to respond to that invitation, yes, to once more cling tightly to the hope that we profess. Because you are faithful and you will not let us down. No matter what our situation says, no matter what our heart may say, or our emotions or those around us. You are faithful and you have promised to never let us down. So, Father, help those who need hope this morning. And finally, Father, for those of us who need to respond to the invitation to love in community, Father, help us this morning to engage with that invitation, to find some friends and start doing life together in you. And that as we do that, as we learn to love, as we learn to encourage one another to outbursts of love and good deeds, may you be seen, may you be experienced, may you be glorified, and may your kingdom be extended. As people see that community with you at the center and are drawn to it. We pray all of this in your mighty and powerful name. Amen.